Please be seated. Well, the story of the resurrection appearance that we've just heard today has always touched me in other ways, in ways that the other resurrection appearances don't. It's the day of the resurrection, but two friends, peripheral characters to the main ones. We all know who those main ones are. Well, they don't know, these peripheral characters, that it is the day of the resurrection. You can't know something you don't have categories for. Immediately, I get a sense that this story is about me, about us. I won't speak for you, but I know I'm not a main character in anything. It's okay not to be a main character, by the way. Without all of us side players, the show could not go on. As to the second thing, the resurrection itself, well, I was trying to get at that in my children's talk. It's the great mystery of our faith. We can't look at it directly. If we could, we'd objectify it. We'd try to control it. But we have to live towards it, open to it. That's all we can ask. So these two peripherals are walking back to a village called Emmaus, which seems to be home, though we're not sure. It's approximately 11 kilometers from Jerusalem. Some ancient manuscripts triple that distance. As they walk, they're processing all of the crazy events that have happened. Many of us can relate to this mode of operation, if you will. There's something about walking with a friend or a partner that can help us puzzle things. A stranger joins them. Okay, that's a bit weird, but it's happened to me, maybe to you, where you're walking along a path and another path joins yours, and someone is coming onto your path just as you arrive at that junction. How's your walk going? Or, nice day for a walk, isn't it? Is the usual exchange, if that happens. But Cleopas and his friend are so deep in conversation, so locked in, we would say, they don't really register the presence of this stranger until he asks them what they're talking about. And they stop. Walking is great for processing, but sometimes our emotions are so strong they overwhelm us, and we can't keep moving. There's a reason that when someone calls you with either really good or really bad news, they ask, "Are you sitting down?" Luke says that when the stranger asked them this question, they stood still, looking sad. In this scene, then, we're moving away from the immediacy, the fear, the joy, the awe of the scenes by the tomb and the garden with the angels. Here we have, even though it's the same day, a bit more physical, but also a bit more reflective space and distance. It's what makes the scene so poignant. It's the bittersweet sadness of their memories, the beauty and the love they experienced, followed by unspeakable events which crushed hopes. Most of us can relate to crushed hopes, hoping in someone who ends up disappointing us. Afterwards, we can feel silly for having put such high hopes on any one person. "I'll never do that again," we inwardly vow, even as we know that suppressing our hope, our desire, is another blow, this time self-inflicted. So there's tremendous poignancy in the scene, but there's also great irony. I was driving back from clergy conference this week, and I saw a sign, I think it was near Shemanus, Tall Tree Lumber Limited. You're thinking you've chosen a cheery, strong name, but even the person whizzing by on the highway can see that you've deconstructed your company by what you do every day. You cut down tall trees. You live to make them, and the name you've chosen, not so. That end, it implies, you know, we go after the old growth. Okay, maybe that's just me, but it was humorous, to me at least. But the Greeks mainly used irony, as Luke does here, writing about a tragic circumstance in which the full significance of the character's words or actions are clear to those of us that get to look in on the scene, get to hear it read or are watching the play, but they're unknown to the character, or in this case, to Cleopas and his companion. And it's been pointed out that Cleopas's question is one of the deepest, most profound instances of irony ever written. Are you the only stranger in all Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days? I love Jesus's little, what things? Stranger? Stranger? In light of the New Testament, we know he is the one who loves and knows the most deeply. The only one who does not know the things that have happened? Well, they happened to him. The now living, resurrected one who knows all that is knowable. Most literary use of irony is for entertainment. But here in the face of the resurrection, it exposes our own ironic circumstances. When things go wrong, we imagine a calamity has befallen us. That bad news that I was referring to, the one that you're supposed to sit down for, really is, we think, the end of a deeply held hope. And so we smile at Cleopas, but we are the ones who are often not recognizing the significance of the strangers or the strange events in our own lives. Max Planck, the founder of quantum theory, was once asked if we will fully understand the universe at some point. And he said, no, because we are part of the universe, and we will never fully understand ourselves. The Christian good news is that on the way, on the road, in the midst of our confusions, in the middle of the journey of life, which throws up for us so many surprises, we will be joined. Sometimes as powerfully as Paul was on the Damascus Road, but most of the time as unobtrusively and yet as invitingly as this stranger joins himself to Cleopas and his friend. Often we will be joined so unobtrusively that we will not recognize it in the moment. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us? Past tense. It's why praying some kind of review prayer of the day just passed, like the examine, can be helpful. Not every day, but some days I'll realize, yep, God was there in the middle of my day in that conversation, and I didn't recognize it. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road. It's probably the most famous line from this story, and it leads and has led to all kinds of intertextual and existential applications. I think of St. Augustine's riff on it when he said, 4 centuries after it had happened, in his book, 3 of the Confessions, he's on his way from his hometown of Thagaste to Carthage, that his heart was burning with lusts. His heart swept up with passion, sensuality, and ambition. 1,500 years later, T.S. Eliot riffed off of Augustine, who was riffing off of Luke, when he wrote in his epic poem, The Wasteland, "To Carthage then I came, burning, 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 burning." His fourfold repetition of burning, pointing to his own pre-conversion wrestling, as St. Augustine was wrestling with the claims of Christ, with Buddhism, with classical philosophy, and of course the great crisis that was upon the world following World War I. It points to the fact that desire is inescapable for us. We are desiring creatures. It is in many ways been pointed out that our desires pave our road. Ambition for success, desire for security, the adventures that are out there somewhere. Augustine could relate to all of these. In that same section, he writes, "I was in love with loving, but I did not yet know who to love." Our longing, our desiring, is part of what makes us human. But our burning hearts can't save us. Even as we are open to new experiences, new things, that openness can lead to bitterness, grief, and pain. Just more things to do, more experiences to have, which can then, of course, spiral into cynicism. We need a partner, the partner, who can open to us the true love we seek. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And then, when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The penny dropped. Irony and poignancy ever present on the way. Give way, even for just a flash, to the risen one. As Bach said, Jesus, the joy of our desiring. My prayer for each of you is that you find yourself part of this journey, on the road with companions, part of the great conversation, open to the one who opens our eyes. Amen.